Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
And this is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligences into sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for Year C, the first Sunday in Lent. We made a decision to forego a podcast for Transfiguration Sunday and go right into Lent for this week. All four readings have some great standalone illustrations and special effects, but we were pleased to see how many of them tie into one another. Let's go see how that happens.
We've established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. In this first week of Lent, the readings act collectively to remind us of God's mighty acts of salvation. We see repeatedly who is to be worshipped in our lives and why. This week, we have managed to include suggestions for all eight smarts. Anytime and any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so that they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for the first week in Lent is Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 11. This is a passage that comes toward the end of the book of Deuteronomy, and Moses is summarizing the people's journeys, and at this point then is giving them direction on how to live in the land, and particularly how to remember all that God has done for them. And so he lays out for them a liturgical way of remembering God's deliverance and tells them that they're supposed to bring in the first fruits from their harvests once they've gotten into the land and are having harvest, and bring those to the priest and then recite their history, basically, starting with Abraham and then how God brought them out of Egypt and into the land flowing with milk and honey. And so they're supposed to remember all of that every season of harvest and re-declare their faith in this saving God. So we started off with a little liturgical work ourselves. Molly, do you want to talk about the liturgy that we came up with?
Sure. It was kind of a sort of intriguing to see that liturgy sort of pop out at us as we were reading it. And so we took the words from the Deuteronomy passage and we turned them into a litany of our own that you can use in a way to bring the offering forward for this first Sunday of Lent. We put together the whole liturgy on a special page that will be in the resources on the webpage, so you can take a look at that. But essentially, we took the idea of the people coming forward to give their offerings to God with a way of declaring themselves, using their words to say who they are, whose they are, and in whom they are going to trust. And we added some more contemporary sorts of things and opportunities for individual congregations to add their own personal histories. But it was just kind of exciting to see that, hey, this is something we could do in sort of following the example of our ancient Hebrew ancestors and dedicating themselves to God.
Right. So take a look at that litany and then get your people up and out of their seats to
come forward and bring their offerings.
Yeah. So it's a word smart because of the litany, but
it also becomes a body smart
then. Mm-hmm.
And there's also a chance for a little bit of self-smart in that, too, to encourage people to reflect on how it feels to get up and bring your offering forward.
Right.
So, haha, a little bit of everything there.
Yeah.
But we also have something for nature smart. The image of the land flowing with milk and honey. The image is really one of abundance, one of joy, the celebration of God's provident care for the people. Milk and honey flow when the land is producing, when the conditions are right, when things are so bursting with goodness that, you know, you can't keep the goodness away. It just flows. You can kind of sort of look at it as sort of like a river.
Thinking about those characteristics of the abundance, and when you read through the scriptures, whenever God calls people to feast, eat fat things and drink sweet wine and and really
the good stuff,
the
pleasing stuff,
and the things that are demonstrative of it being abundant and you're not starving. So so milk represents fat, and honey represents sweet. Which are two of the three target tastes of the modern food industry, along with salt,
right?
To get you to
eat and buy more.
So, so thinking about the abundance that God provides for people smart, we were looking at the verse that says the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us, and this is part of their reflection on their own history, and wanted to connect with our own cultural situation and our history. Most 21st century North American Christians, particularly white American Christians, do not experience the affliction and degradation of slavery at this time in our history. But but we were once very much part of it and perpetuated it. And so we've seen schism, and we have congregations whose history perhaps was either born out of the Civil War or predated and lived through the Civil War, and which of course was fought over
slavery,
slavery and affliction. So it may be that in your congregation, if you're one of those longer lived congregations, that you have stories in your own congregation that have to do with that period of history. And if not, then there are a lot of resources available for you to reflect on that. It's Black History Month in February, and so there are a lot of ways, a lot of resources available to look at there.
Yeah, we'll have some links to that, too. The theme for History Month, Black History Month in 2016, is Hallowed Ground, Sites of African American Memories. So we'll have a lot of links to Black History Month on the resource page on the webpage. But even if you choose not to go that way, as a People Smart special effect, you can invite your congregation to talk with people around them about what kind of afflictions one group of people suffers at the hands of another. I mean, you can talk about things as broad as full-blown genocide, which unfortunately we have seen many examples of, especially in our modern era. All the way down to a discussion about microaggressions. What does it mean when you encounter someone who kind of gives you a side eye, or you know, the offhand comment that they don't mean to hurt, maybe, but it does offend you. And in those kinds of discussions, you might consider how God might be in that particular situation and what God intends to do to bring freedom and healing to all of those situations.
So be aware that there may be some trigger points here for folks in your congregation who either may have an axe to grind or a wound that needs healing. And if you're having folks in conversation with each other, try and be listening for any particular hot spots and high energy, and offer pastoral assistance for anyone who wants to talk about those things after the fact. But try and make sure that the conversation makes its way back around to God's desire for healing and freedom.
Absolutely. I mean, this is one of God's mighty saving acts, is bringing the people out of slavery.
Right. Okay, let's move on.
The psalm for the first Sunday in Lent, year C, is Psalm 91, verses 1 through 2, and jumping down a bit to verses 9 through 16. This is a psalm of praise, of thanksgiving for God's protection, thanksgiving for God's sheltering providence. The first two verses: you who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. That should be triggering for you the song on eagle's wings, and we'll be getting to that one in a little bit. But first we're going to look at body smarts. The idea of this particular verse that is a little further down: on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. What came to my mind as I read that particular one was safety harnesses, safety nets, seat belts. Thank God for seat belts. I was in a car accident this last Saturday night and totaled my car, and seat belts really prevented me from having extensive injuries. I'm just kind of sore and bruised right now. Other types of equipment used to prevent or minimize injury. Those are some sorts of things that popped to mind as I was reading those particular verses. Things that catch us, that keep us safe.
We're very glad that you are whole and well. Another body smart illustration might be if you're a parent and have ever had your kids put you to the test. And there's a story that I like telling of a time when I was getting ready to go on a trip and was packing my suitcase and had it on the bed, and I was getting stuff out of my drawers to put in the suitcase, and my daughter, who was four, was bouncing on the bed, and while I was turned away from her, I heard "Daddy, catch," and turned, and she had flung herself into the air, arms wide, and off the edge of the bed. One of those pivotal moments in the relationship, you know. if you catch her, then all is well, and if not, then it could be tragic for your relationship for the rest of your life. But managed to have the reaction time at that point in my life and caught her. So
yeah, don't try it now, Mary. Other sorts of lifting up, bury you up. Think of a victorious coach. Hopefully it will be, what's his name? Gary Kubiak this coming Sunday. Yeah, I even know his name.
Good.
Carrying
or Peyton, maybe they'll be carrying
Peyton off the field. Yeah, because it's obviously going to be his last game. But anyway, carrying a champion off the field in victory, arms up in the air.
And that's what the Angels will be doing.
Bearing up,
us,
yes. Yeah. For special effect for this, for body, you could do trust falls. One of the things I thought of is doing a water balloon toss where you line people up and they toss water balloons back and forth at each other until one of them misses and it explodes. But you probably don't want to do that in your sanctuary. You could use an egg doing that as well. I mean, there's still the potential for mess. But the idea is you have to gently and very purposely catch something, bear something up. These are just some ideas for ways to illustrate that particular idea using body. I mentioned before, Music Smart on Eagle's Wings. It was written by a priest named Michael Junkus. And we have a link on our show notes about who he is some links that will take you directly to the sheet music for On Eagle's Wings if your church library does not have those.
And there's also A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. That also
works really well.
Would work well for this one.
Yeah. Nature smart images, the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent. I spent some time poking around on various websites about the behaviors of lions and adders, and holy cow, those things can, you don't want to encounter them in the wild. Let's just put it that way. The potential for violence is and death.
Very high.
Yes, exactly. Lions are incredibly strong and adders are very quick and they're venomous. But we think that the point of this verse is to stress how powerful God's provident care is, that God's faithful will be so cared for that even the most dangerous animals known to humanity are not going to be a threat.
Okay, for people smart, looking at verses 14, 15, those who love me, I will deliver, says the Lord, and when they call on me, I will answer them. So one of the points in here is that God is going to answer those who call, which is pretty comforting. It's like 911. I mean, imagine if you had to call 911 and they'd say, "No, sorry, not going to help you." Like, you know, you would not want that.
No.
And
no.
Or if they put you on hold.
Yeah.
And so the Lord here promises to answer those
who call. And for self-smart, my God in whom I trust, it popped out at us. And an illustration you can use to talk about trust. We printed on our money, "In God we trust," but the question is, do we really? When any of those above dangers, the lion, the adder, the falling, any of those dangers are presented, what's the first reaction that we have? Do we react out of fear? Do we react out of frustration? Or can we face the challenges that come our ways with hearts full of trust? For a special effect, if you choose to do the liturgy and the bringing the offering forward from the Deuteronomy passage, if you do or if you don't, either way, as people are pulling out their money to bring forward, have them look at a coin or a bill and look at the motto that we have printed on our money and think about how much they trust God and when they trust God and why they trust God.
All right, let's go on. The epistle lesson for Year C, Lent 1, is Romans 10, 8b to 13. This is a passage that has a lot of connections, actually, with the psalm for the day, and not a few with the gospel, but it is where Paul says, the word is near to you, on your lips and in your heart, and from there draws the line that those who confess with their lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead will be saved. So if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved because God will save all who call on God. So let's start with the word because it's near to you.
Hey, I see what you did there. Good job. So the phrases from the text, the word is near you, one confesses with the mouth, and the scripture says, all word images. And the illustration that you could probably use here is that what comes out of the mouth reveals the contents of the heart. This idea is really similar to Jesus' instruction about what defiles people in that conversation he has in Mark 10. So maybe what you could do is a special effect for WordSmart. Now, I'm going to suggest something that's kind of old school, but you can encourage your congregation to carry around paper and pencil, see, old school, and make note of words that they use repeatedly or frequently during the day. Another option is to just, you know, turn on their iPhone or their smartphone and record themselves periodically through the day and keep track of the words that they use. What words do they use most? What surprises them about the record? And maybe what words would they like to say more?
Yeah, I'm sure there's an app for that, too.
Oh, yeah. Hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. So for math smart or math logical smart, this whole pericope, this whole passage is basically an if-then statement.
Which so Paul has a lot of.
Very many. In fact, it's part of a very long logical development from chapter 9 to 11. So if you believe and if you confess, then you will be saved. And so it follows that pattern, if-then.
So it's a proof.
It's a proof, basically, yeah. So it's all. You can also structure it like a declaration, you know, whereas,
yeah,
with all the whereases. Whereas one is justified by believing, and whereas one is saved by confessing, and whereas the scripture says that one who believes will not be put to shame, and whereas the Lord is Lord of all, therefore be it known that if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved.
Good example of how the math smart is not always numbers.
Right.
It's sometimes just, you know, putting pieces together.
Right.
Okay. So for body smart, what pinged at us from the verses is the phrase on your lips, which got us to thinking, what does speech actually feel like? I mean, we talk all the time. Some of us talk a lot more. But what does it feel like? We take it for granted, but how do you speak? So first of all, you kind of have to breathe in. You have to use the diaphragm in the stomach to push the air back out. You have to let the air flow over the vocal cords, shape your mouth, the palate, the tongue, the lips to make the sounds, and then you have to do it all over again. So maybe what you could
and
do
hopefully
is...
hopefully engage your brain somewhere.
At some point in there, yes.
As far as content.
Yeah, something I need to work on. Anyway, but something else you could do as an illustration for body smart is just to encourage your congregation to be aware of how their bodies feel for the rest of the day as they speak. You know, I just noticed that I took a breath before I said that, and I'm doing it again, and now that's just going to bother me. But maybe what you could do is encourage them to put a hand on their diaphragm and a hand on their throat as they speak and feel the movement and the vibrations. For a special effect for body smart, if you have a speech pathologist or know someone who knows a speech pathologist, you might have that person come in and as a special guest star. How does the body, what's all of that connection? And we'll have some things on the resource, some links on the show notes about, with some diagrams that show the sometimes very complicated process of speech that we just totally take for granted. And then also for a special effect, go on to consider what goes into making a confession of faith with speech. There's where other things get involved, including the heart.
Right. So the heart, of course, leads us naturally to self-smart because, oh, it's the heart. And it's Lent 1 is going to be Valentine's Day, so lots of thought for heart on that day. And in both the Old and New Testament, the heart is far more than just, you know, that fist-sized muscle in your chest there. It's the seat of the conscience, the will, reason, affection, volition, all those things. Your character is held in your heart, the center of the moral and spiritual life. So
going back to what Jesus said about what comes out of you is what defiles you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in church circles, of course, we talk about having Jesus in your heart, and that's more than just a metaphor, and it's more than just loving him. It's a way of talking about the reality that you will choose to be like him, that mm-hmm. your character will be more and
like
more
his character.
Like his, as far as your will is able to make that happen, in conjunction, of course, with the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And so you'll care as God cares, and you'll choose as God chooses, as Christ chooses. Think of yourself and others in the right relationship with God. So more and more focusing on God's intention, Christ's intention in your life and character. Let's go.
Cool. The gospel lesson for Lent 1 year C is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. This is Luke's story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. We came up with a variety of illustrations and special effects for several of the smarts, but we're going to start with looking at iSmart. In this particular story, we have a couple of times where the devil takes Jesus and shows him things. I'll believe it when I see it with my own eyes. There's kind of this sense of revelation in this particular passage. And one of the an illustration that we thought of, full confession here, neither one of us have actually seen the movie yet. I want to. David, maybe not so much. Yeah. The movie The Big Short, that's looking at the 2008 stock market collapse. The second temptation in this story is kind of has summarized the ends justify the means attitude that, you know, so many people have. And so if you have seen the movie The Big Short, and if there is some of that in there, that might be a good way to talk about that. A special effect you could do with iSmart is if you know somebody that has a drone that has video capability, take it up to the pinnacle of your church and record it. What's it look like from up there? Show it in the service. Or if you don't have that capability, then take people there in their imaginations. Use your words to paint this picture so that they can see it.
For Body Smart, we have a special effect, and you could make it an illustration too, I guess, but thinking about temptation and where does that happen in your body? Does temptation happen in your head, or do you feel it in your gut, or is it in your chest, or
your heart,
your hands? Where is that? And maybe it depends on what the temptation is mm-hmm. as well, and maybe it's in more than one place. So after introducing that idea, invite people to pick a place where they feel temptation in their bodies and to put their hands over that place and offer it to Christ in prayer, that as he overcame temptation, that he might also help you to do the same. Now, obviously, there's a certain risk factor here in that
yeah.
you're revealing to the people
everybody
around
sitting
you,
around you.
where you're feeling the temptation. So either invite people just to all close their eyes, and if you can trust them to do that, then that lowers the risk a little bit. Or if they feel particularly
vulnerable
about that they can just cross their arms over their chests.
Or clasp their hands in prayer.
Their
yeah.
hands.
And
yeah.
imagine that spot in their bodies.
Yeah.
Or maybe even do that as a self-smart later in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since we are touching things, we have some touching that also happens in our natural smart special effect today. So thinking about the Judean wilderness, and we have a couple of links we'll throw in the show notes about what the Judean wilderness is like, where it is, where you can find it. It's basically the area south of Jerusalem and west of the Dead Sea and big area of wilderness, lots of sand and rocks. So you can bring in a bowl of sand to talk about the experience that Jesus had in the Judean wilderness. It gives a sense of dryness when we think about that sand, as opposed to, say, sand at the beach.
Which is kind of damp sometimes.
Yeah, right. So the dryness, and then you can connect that with the dryness of a tempted soul, for example.
Cool.
And if you're going to do the part from Deuteronomy of having folks come forward for the offering. You can have that bowl of sand at the front there so that they can touch the sand as they're making their offering and remember Jesus' temptation and suffering on our behalf. If you're not having them come forward, then you can maybe have it there anyway, and they can touch it
as they're entering or leaving the sanctuary.
Yeah, or have one at each door or something. Yeah.
Good idea. I really like that. I like that a lot. For people smart, looking at the temptations themselves, the devil is doing everything he can to, pull Jesus over to his side, and he wants Jesus to prove it, how much he trusts God. It's a really adolescent scheme. Teenagers often push boundaries with people who care about them to find out just how far they can trust them. And, that's part of being a teenager. It's also part of being a toddler. They have very similar developmental challenges,
yes,
except
do.
When you're a teenager, you can drive and talk back. It's kind of, pushing the boundaries. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you going to land? How far will you go? But Jesus trusts God enough in this particular passage not to have to put God to the test. And so maybe that might be something to think about. That's an illustration to give to your folks for People Smart. Particularly for those who might be parents of teenagers or toddlers. That's teenagers, that's their job. How do you react to that? And then for self-smart, it kind of goes along with that challenge, but it's the specific phrase that the devil uses twice in this passage, if you are, and then goes on to say the Son of God. So there's this challenge to Jesus' identity. And so as an illustration, maybe talk about what sort of challenges do we have for our own identities? How are we challenged to identify ourselves? What sorts of things do we use to identify ourselves? We've got driver's licenses, voter ID cards, bank cards, social security numbers, tax IDs, house address, phone number, email address, username, avatars, and the list just goes on and on and on, and I pretty much only just scratched the surface of that. So as an illustration, you might ask your congregation, how do we identify ourselves? What names do we use? What descriptors do we use? What are our nicknames? And what names do we wish we could lose?
For the special effect, tying in with that, invite people to take out one or all of the ID that they carry with them. You reassure them that nobody's going to look at their driver's license photo if they don't want to show it off. Or maybe admonish people not to look at them. I don't know. Anyway.
That's up to them, yeah.
Anyway, pull out their IDs and have a look at them and think about what they reveal about our identities and what information is there. And do you feel okay about sharing those things in public? And what information would you prefer not to be on your ID? How would you rather not be identified? And how identified do you feel by those pieces of plastic in your hand or cardboard? And how much of your life is wrapped up in those things, like your driver's license or your bank card or what have you, your credit cards? If you lost that card, what would be your response? How would that affect your sense of identity if you lost it? And you can get into the idea of
identity theft. Yeah. This is an interesting idea too. This is something that you could use as a homework assignment that could go on indefinitely. Encourage folks that the next time they pull out that piece of identification, that bank card, that driver's license, whatever it is, to look at it and think, insert their own name, you are a beloved child of God, because that is really their identity. And if they can put that identity onto these pieces of things that they use all the time, maybe that can reinforce the idea that they are beloved. All right.
Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you try any of these suggestions or maybe get an idea you like even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We'd love to know how using this theory made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Also, be sure to look for the show notes, our links, and the resources that we have on our website. We publish the worksheets that we use on each of these texts, so you can see if there are any ideas that didn't make it into the podcast. They could be helpful and maybe give you a spark of creativity. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes, or point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store, too.
We're in iTunes.
We'll be back with another installment next week. So, in the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.